Hello and welcome to the Scottish Clans. I'm Clint, and today I have a special treat. For me, it was a special treat anyway, recording this. A couple weekends ago, Payson, Utah held their annual Payson Scottish Festival. And I had, clear back when I lived in Idaho, I had heard about this festival. When people would learn that I'm into this, and that I've got a, especially after I'd started the podcast, you know, there's a lot of back and forth between Southeast Idaho and Utah. And, you know, people who have relatives down here or have lived down here in this part of Utah once upon a time. And they knew about this and they, oh, have you ever been down to that? Well, last year was my first summer living here. And that would be 2021 if you're listening to this way later. And I'd been at a family reunion at my mom's side of the family's ranch up in Idaho. And so I had barely made it back down here in time for like the last couple of hours of the festival. People were tearing down everything and packing up and going home. So I really didn't get a good chance. But this year I made sure way out ahead of time to make sure my schedule could fit it. And it took some doing, but I was able to attend, and boy, I had a great time. I had the opportunity to meet with the people in charge of several clan tents, and I actually interviewed four of them, which is going to provide the foundation of this episode. So I interviewed the people in charge of four different clan tents, the Campbells, the Youngs, the McDonalds, and the McGregors. So that was exciting for me. It was a real treat, especially people who have such a passion for their heritage like I do. The overall experience was great. I was the only person, I wasn't the only person in public wearing a kilt. That was nice. Just surrounded by a bunch of people who, like me, are really interested and passionate about their Scottish heritage. So that was fun. Fun opportunity, not just to the clan tents, but they had some awesome entertainment, some very talented musicians and singers. There all sorts of cool things. I'm not into stuff to buy, so I didn't spend a lot of time buying things. But I did get a cool. I want to give a quick shout out to Michael, who's in charge of the it's called the Celtic Jackalope tent. But he's also the president of the International Clan MacFarlane Society. I hope I said that organization right. That was kind of off the top of my head, and I didn't have his. I didn't have his business card that I took from there. I bought a shirt from him, a Clan MacFarlane shirt. It's actually a really funny shirt, but it's only funny if you know the history. So on the front of it, it has just up on the top left corner over your chest, it has the Clan MacFarlane with the badge and the motto, "This I'll defend," and all that. But on the back, it was a joke. It said, "MacFarlane Cattle Company, the best of the Cahoon herd." Kind of referencing to the tendency of the MacFarlanes to run down south of their territory and on their return have a lot more cattle than they started off with. Let's just say that. And if this had been the old West or the current West, they would have had the Cahoon brand on them. I don't know what they did back in those days to mark their cattle, to know who they belong to. But anyways, a funny t-shirt. I had a great time interacting with Michael there, hearing what he's been up to. So a little shout out to Michael at the Celtic Jackalope tent. He's out of Southern California, so instead of running the MacFarlane tent, he has this, his was by far, well, I don't know, I wasn't going around measuring everything, but it seemed like the biggest tent. And he's mostly t-shirts. There's some other stuff in there, mostly t-shirts. And if you have any kind of a Scottish clan background, you can probably find a t-shirt for you in his tent. He's not paying me anything to say that. I'm just saying telling you that's the one thing I did buy. I'm pretty good about not giving in to just throwing money around and buying a bunch of stuff that I only kind of want. So anyway, it was a good experience. The clan tents, Celtic Jackalope, amongst others, the musical entertainment. It was a great experience. And so to get more to the point here, this is a very unique, hopefully the front runner for more episodes that are unique like this to come. Then it won't be so unique, but it'll be a good thing. I was able to visit with the people in charge of and record our discussion with the people over at the Clan Young tent. Now, If you're like me and you would hear the term Clan Young, you'd be like, you sure they were a clan? They were Border Reavers. Even the Scottish government in the 1500s looked at them very similarly to the way they did the people up in the Highlands. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Clan Young, saying that's a thing. There were a few other tents there where I myself was like, you sure that's a clan? It's a clan society now, and I'm all about that. I'm neck deep that it's a clan society. I don't know if back during the 1500s or prior or 16 or whenever, I don't know if they were actual clans, but I'm not going to go around nitpicking everybody's tent and telling them that that's, you know, like, let's just have fun. And if you want to be a clan society today and we all understand the historical differences and what it is today versus what it was then that's cool, whatever. I'm totally down with people from completely lowland descent whose ancestors never wore a kilt. I'm all about those people wearing kilts, having their own tartans. I'm all about it. I'm all about it. Anyway, back to the subject. So, Clan Young interviewed them. The Campbell tent was able to make it to there. The McDonald's and the McGregors. So, I'm going to turn you over to the recordings for those discussions that I had with the people in charge of those four tents. By the time I finished that Saturday afternoon, by the time I got done with these four discussions that I recorded, everybody was starting to tear down their tents and go off their different directions to call it a weekend. Coming up in October, there will be, and I'm sure this is going all over the United States, but in my neck of the woods, the Moab Scots on the Rocks, you know, making a reference to a Scottish festival in Moab with all the big rocks down there that people like going down there with their Jeeps and whatever they used to do some rock crawling. So they're going to do Scots on the Rocks at that festival. Hopefully I can make it over to that and get some more of these interviews and maybe think of some more questions to ask people. But this was kind of a pilot program for me. So thank you for joining me for this unique episode and hopefully the first of more to come. Before I drop you into those discussions, I just want to give a shout out to my sponsor, USA Kilts. They produce an awesome product. They got great customer service. I'll talk more about them a little bit later. They've got a great YouTube channel, USA Kilts and Celtic Traditions is the name of the channel. So go check that out. Their storefront is usakilts.com. Great quality products and great quality customer service. So go check them out, usakilts.com. I'm going to turn you over to these discussions I had at the Celtic Festival. I do want to let you know, though, that the audio is a little bit crazy because I was just using my lapel mic and it was kind of loud, so I felt that I needed to talk over that. And I should have backed off a little bit because that mic is actually better than I give it credit for. And so it sounds like I'm kind of yelling into it. So just bear with me on this audio quality. I'll try to have it a little bit more dialed in for next time I do this. But in the meantime, I will hand you over to these awesome discussions I had with it. So today's episode will just be the Campbells and the McDonald's. No, that's not intentional. I'm not trying to force the Campbells and the McDonald's to be together and to like each other. I'm trying to time-wise gauge this and match them up well, and that's just how it works out. So we're going to do Campbells and McDonald's this time. Next time I'll do Young's and McGregor's. So stay tuned for those. That's what's coming up. And so pardon the audio. I hope you enjoy these episodes, and here you go. All right, I'm Clint with Scottish Clans Podcast, and I am here with Tom Campbell, who is running the Campbell tent at the Payson Scottish Festival in Payson, Utah, and he was so kind enough to spend a few minutes with me, and I'm just getting his perspective as kind of he's the face of the Campbells here at this festival, and so I just wanted to ask him a few questions about his experience and his perspectives. So Tom, first of all, thank you for doing this with me. How did you get interested in your Scottish, and specifically your Campbell ancestors?
I was about 9 when my father took us up to the Montreal, Canada area, and we went to a Scottish festival. I had no idea what we were up to. You know, it was obviously his idea. He had Scottish, records where he'd play marches and stuff. And, oh, yeah, that was part of the Campbell thing. But here we are, 9 years old, and I went to the Scottish Festival. And you know what? From age 9 years old until I was an adult, gosh, let's call it 50. You know, I had not any inclination to get involved in Scottish clans, but all of a sudden, I'm going to the local Utah Scottish festivals. Oh, there's the Campbells. How nice. And we'd go in and enjoy the company. And lo and behold, after so many years of going, there's no more longer a tent there with the Campbell clan. What's going on? And we look into it, and lo and behold, the gentleman, old gentleman who had been involved, he had died, and the family was not interested in carrying it on. And I said, what the hey, man? Give it to me, man. Give me all the facilities, all the materials, you know, I'm going to carry it on. I'll take it forward. Hence, here I am all these years forward. I think I've been doing this for about 10, give or take, you know, and representing Clan Campbell in Utah. And loving it. I get to meet all these people. I may not all know all the history about Clan Campbell, but, you know, I'm here to dispense as much as I know and meet people. And I learn something myself every year. And, of course, people that come into the tent, they learn something. They learn a lot more than they used to know. And we have found ourselves just loving getting involved in just the human aspect of clanship.
Thanks, Tom. That's a good answer. So that's interesting because it wasn't, some people get involved in their family history on a very personal level, and then they're introduced to the clan society. And it seems for you, you had the personal, you know, your ancestry, which led you to be involved in the organization, and it was the organization that kind of fed back on that interest. Is that fair? Is that an accurate way to sum that up?
Yeah. You know, it wasn't as if I was doing genealogy and I backed into it that way. I just liked the idea of it. And when nobody was here to backfill the idea of it, I just said it's time for me to backfill it because somebody's got to do it. And I guess I've become more involved in the genealogy part of it as a back end of it. But more, it was more important to just keep the representation of the name going at the Scottish festivals here in Utah.
Well, I'm glad that you did get interested in it, and here you are. What does it mean? Kind of a combined question. What does it mean to be a member of a clan society today, and why would somebody want to be a part of that?
All right. So, someone who wants to be able to find out a little bit more about their background, when you join a clan organization, and Clan Campbell is very organized as far as the website, the genealogy, and the historical background. It's one of the clans that's very organized. You know, and for someone who wants to find out a little bit more, it's the easy button on how to go about finding about what more about my family. Yeah, grandmother or second grandmother removed. Somebody who was part of it, I know a little bit about it, but I don't know where to go next. You know, Clan Campbell Society North America, the website, perfect place to go ahead and start your whole process on, you know, where do I go from here? It's just a easy way to start.
Oh, that's awesome. So if I understood that correctly, somebody should join a clan society because it opens up some doors as far as the network you can plug into, the resources you can have access to, instead of just trying to figure it out on your own the whole way through. And I would agree with you, having been to the Clan Campbell Society of North America's website. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I've been to that website. And it is one of the better clan websites that I have visited. And I've visited a lot of them. And it is very well organized. It has very good information, well sourced. And the advantage that the Campbells have that I've noticed, and other clans have not had this advantage as strong, is that they have scholars inside of the clan and some out who have really done a lot of work. There's a lot of information. You're right. It is, as far as finding information, even really good scholarly information, Campbell is, to use your word, the easy button. Can I ask you a final question about what is it about the Campbells as a clan, either anciently, modern, a historical event, a character trait, common thread you see? What is it about Clan Campbell that gets you excited and fired up?
Well, there's a lot of us out there, and the fact that I can connect with so many people who have either a direct or indirect contact with the name Campbell. I mean, let's face it, everybody knows Campbell soup, and whether it's Campbell soup or just the Scottish Campbells, there's a lot of us out there, and it's just fun to connect with people that have some similarities. And whether you're a Campbell or you're some other clan, it's great to come to the fest and just somehow connect with your background. It's just entertaining.
I would agree with that. And it has been really cool to come here, not just with the Campbells, but all of them. But I got to tell my listeners, I think Tom was the first tent I came to and came in, and he offered me a seat. I sat down with him. He just really kind, really easy to talk to, and he loves the Clan Campbell. That's clear to see. Is there anything else that, like, any plugs, any free advertising you want to do on the tail end of this? That what about that website was CC
Clan Campbell North America. No, Clan Campbell Society North America, CCSNA. If you were to Google just Clan Campbell, it will take you there also. Okay. As far as, we know, get out, get involved, do some research. The internet is just perfect for trying to find out your back history. You know, we live in a society in today where it is so easy compared to what it's been in the past. I recommend it to everybody.
Thanks, Tom, and thank you for taking a few minutes with me. And I think he's going to be the last one. Most of the tents are collapsing. Things are just evaporating before my eyes at this festival. And Tom's still here and took a few minutes with me, so I sure appreciate it. Thanks, Tom. All right, that's all I've got for this one. All right, like I said, the audio could have more to be desired, so hopefully when I make my next trip to the Scotts on the Rocks out in Moab, Utah, it'll be a little bit better recording. So before I get into the McDonald discussion that I had at the McDonald tent, let me give a little bit a better shout out to my sponsor, USA Kilts. I just want to tell you guys that so they're my sponsors, and every so often, okay, I've done this for you, and the agreement was this, and so we settled up, and part of that settling was I got some new merch from USA Kilts. So I got a kilt, a tie, and a kilt pin. Let me tell you what I got. So I did a whole episode on which kilt I chose, so I'm not going to go into tons of detail about the tartan on that, and about how we pick tartans, and what connection do you have to the tartan, and all that stuff. I made a whole episode about my thoughts on that. I don't get too wrapped around the axle about how strong a connection is to it. Even Rocky on USA Kilts, because he doesn't, he wears whatever tartan he wants. And when people ask him about it, do you have whatever ancestry? He says, no, I'm a kilt maker. And everybody just kind of shrugs their shoulders and says, oh, okay. And they go on with it. He doesn't really feel the need to justify whatever the connection is. And as far as that's concerned, the connections and the family and certain tartans and all that doesn't go back that far. But I did a whole episode, so I'm not going to spend too much time talking about that. But let me tell you what I did decide to go with. I went with a casual kilt. I like to hike. I like to be out in the backcountry. And I found that a kilt is the ideal garment for that. It's wonderful. However, my other kilt's a little bit nicer quality, and I wanted something that I was less afraid to snag on a branch, get a little dirt on. And so I went with the casual kilts, less expensive. Of course, it's not you're not getting what you got with the more expensive kilt. That's part of the point, though. But it looks good. It fits good. They always make them fit good. Both my kilts fit very well. And So shout out to USA Kilts for that. And I've actually taken it out and hiked in it. It was very enjoyable. It's lighter weight. It's not, you know, it's not 100% wool, the material. It's, I can maintain it here at the house. I don't have to take it to a special cleaner, a dry cleaners to clean it or whatever. I can wash it here. I can iron it here at my house. And yeah, so I've really enjoyed having that so far. I also got the kilt pin for, that's more for my other kilt. And, you know, I got my last name's Edwards, so my folks came over from Wales, from Ceredigion, and specifically Llanwynog is where they're from. And they, I got to represent, you know. I love my Scottish ancestors, as you know, with this whole podcast thing, but I love my Welsh ancestors too, and so I wanted to represent. So I got the kilt pin, was the claymore with the Welsh dragon on it. It looks cool. And then I already have a kilt belt with the belt buckle that's got the Welsh dragon on it too. So I'm representing, I think. My next thing I need to do, probably through USA Kilts again, is to get something more of a Scandinavian. They got some Viking stuff on there too. So maybe represent my ancestors from Sweden, which I have some on both sides of my family that came over from Sweden. So clear out here, straight from Sweden over to the Rocky Mountains out here in the Utah, Southeast Idaho area. So I got to represent them. I also got a Mackenzie tie. My wife has Mackenzie ancestry, and so she's not as into the Scottish stuff as I am, so I'm going to have to represent her. So I got a Mackenzie tie. She has Mackenzie blood in her on her mom's side, and my kids have it, so we're gonna represent. And then, so I got the kilt pin, the tie, the Mackenzie tie, and the Macduff hunting tartan casual kilt. And I'm happy with all of it. So thank you, USA Kilts. They were awesome with me. Both Rocky and Ian worked with them to get my stuff there here on time. So very good customer service, whether it's been as a sponsor or just, and I've ordered stuff from them completely independent of the sponsorship. I just called up, didn't tell them who I was. Hey, my name's Clint, and maybe I just did it digitally. Anyway, in any case, either way, sponsor, I'm just a customer. Either way, the customer service is really good. So I recommend them to you. Go check out their YouTube channel at USA Kilts and Celtic Traditions as well. They've got some great content on there. Good people working there, passionate about what they do. So check them out, usakilts.com or on YouTube. I'm going to throw you back into the McDonald episode now. And I hope you like this. I really had a good time with Ted and Alex. And they know a lot about McDonald history. They were very informative, really good to sit down with them, great people, and I just wish them the best. And they really did indulge me. I was just kind of nerdy around them, and they were cool about it, and they were nerdy back. And by nerdy, I mean passionate about their heritage, and so we had a great visit. Here it is. All right, I'm Clint Edwards, the Scottish Clans Podcast. I am here with Alex and Ted. You're going to be deceived by that name. Ted is awesome. And she knows a lot of stuff. Has a lot of good connections. So we're going to – so they're the McDonald tent. That's where we're at. We're hanging out in the McDonald tent with Alex and Ted. And I'm going to give them a chance to introduce themselves. And then we're going to ask them about what they're doing here, their experiences, their world with the Clan Donald Society. Start us off, Alex.
Sure. Well, thanks. My name is Alex Gurry, and I am the current Rocky Mountain Region Regional Commissioner for Clan Donald USA, and I also serve the role as Chancellor for Clan Donald USA. And I got involved in Clan Donald because of my grandmother. Her name is Madge McDonald. She was born in Ayrshire, and she was a very active member of Clan Donald when she was younger, and you know, started out as the state commissioner for Colorado and then became regional commissioner for the Rocky Mountain region. And so that's why I got involved in Clan Donald. Like, and that's why when I was younger, I would come set up the tent. It was because I did it for my grandmother. And really my involvement started as a way to honor her and her past. What's interesting is I went to my first annual general meeting. So my grandmother's now 98 and God bless her, still kicking. But, you know, her influence over me, her ability to make me do things is much less now that I'm a, you know, I've grown up and I'm a man. And so I got involved in Clan Donald because of her, but I've stayed involved in Clan Donald because at the end of the day, it really is a family thing, right? I went to my first annual general meeting in my adulthood and got to meet some of the most wonderful people, and we had the shared love of history and rabble-rousing and being rebellious and being angry and being, you know, like that's just who we are as Donalds. And so, you know, that trip cemented my involvement in Clan Donald, and that really was the trip that threw the switch from me doing this to honor my grandmother as an obligation to me doing this as a passion of my own. So I think attending the annual general meeting and meeting the great people of Clan Donald, and also on that trip having the opportunity to meet the younger of Clan Donald, who I've become very close friends with, Hugo McDonald, I think that just, I realized that, you know, this is one big family, and this is a part of me now that I couldn't ever imagine giving up. So I think, you know, that's why I do it today. That's why it's important to me, is that I've realized that this is the family, you know, what's interesting, it's the family that we were born into, but it's also now the family we've chosen. So it's the best of both worlds. So that's why I do what I do.
I'm Ted Clark. I am a girl. I got into Clan Donald because my mother, her maiden name was Kopick, C-O-P-P-O-C-K, and we always thought that she was German until she went to the Highland Games when I was really small. And Clan Donald actually was the one who set her straight, and nobody else in the entire Highland Games could tell her anything about it till she hit the Clan Donald tent. They said, oh, you're home. And so it turns out that I'm part of a small sept of Clan Donald, which is McDonald of Keppoch. And it's out of the Fort William area-ish, Strass Bay, in that area. So I grew up going to Highland Games and learned at the knee of my mother how to run a tent and how to set up a tent. And it just carried on. We would see all of our friends every year, friends and family every year. And during the summer, during the games, and it became a habit. It's just family, just coming and meeting different people. And then the longer you're in it, the higher you go in Clan Donald. And so you get to meet more and more people over the nation. And then you get suckered into like doing stuff like regional commissioner. Oh, and I forgot to mention that. So I am the Rocky Mountain Regional Commissioner Emeritus, so I retired with honors from that. I'm the editor of By Sea, By Land, which is our national newsletter. So that's what I do now. I'm also on the international board of Clan Donald Foundation, so we raise money to make sure that the lands on Sky stay within the Clan Donald Trust so that we maintain our historical lands. Anyway, so that's what I did, and what I do now is, as Alex says, I sit on my throne and make sure that everybody is doing what they're supposed to do because I paid my dues.
Great responses, both of you. So it's interesting that here in the same tent, both of you were kind of born into it.
Yeah.
Had those generations ahead of you, and a grandmother and a mother that were involved, and so here you are, which is pretty cool. I just want to point out to my listeners that I stopped by this tent last night and got into a deeper and deeper conversation, and Alex and Ted know a lot of stuff. Like, a lot of the times I just sit back listening. I throw like a little something out, like, so what about this? And they would just start filling me in, and it's pretty educational, this tent is. So Alex and Ted, either one of you that have thoughts on this, in this podcast that I've been doing for a few years now, we've really focused more on the clans in historical Scotland, you know, up to about Culloden. Not that that's a hard book into the clan society, but that's kind of where. Yeah, I mean, I can't think of any times after that any clan chief called up any kind of a major fighting force because of the Klan and went and took it to somebody else. There are probably elements of Klanship that persisted well beyond that, but that's kind of where the emphasis in this podcast has stopped, about there. And then back on the other end of the chronology, probably around where we started to get to see a lot of the clans that we'd recognize today begin. But we haven't done a lot of modern day clan stuff, and I don't know a lot about it. So can you tell my listeners, who have a pretty broad variety of background and knowledge of this topic, from just like this is the first time they've ever listened to anything and they just barely found out they have Scottish ancestry, to scholars, like no kidding, scholars, just your perspective, what does it mean today to be a member of a clan society?
Yeah, I think I'll take the first go at this. And it's interesting, just to circle back, you said that both Ted and I were born into it. I mean, I think I would assert that everybody is born into their clan affiliation, right? At some point along the way, born or married into it. Although what's funny is even today, we had a young gentleman with no Scottish roots and no Scottish connection who just for some reason had a real passion about Clan Donald. And we met him in Salt Lake and he was like, that's it, I'm joining Clan Donald. And like, you know, given the rules of our society, couldn't actually join, but he was so excited about it. He went out and got a kilt. He got the whole outfit, showed up today, dressed to the nines, carried our banner in the parade. I mean, the man is a member of Clan Donald, if in spirit for sure, and yet has no direct tie to the organization. It was the funniest thing ever. And so, it really is a funny sort of story. But, you know, back to your question about why, like, what is the role of the Klan today, really? Like, you know, that ultimately, I will tell you, at the lowest and the highest reaches of Clan Donald USA, and probably across many of the societies and organizations, that is the debate right now. You know, that is the quintessential conversation that we have when we meet together as a group of people who, you know, really run these organizations, is what role does it play today? You know, what does a 1,000-year-old patriarchal family society based, you know, really on small islands in Scotland have to do with my life in Denver or the folks' lives here in Payson, Utah? And, you know, I struggle with the answer, and what I'm left with is, you know, going back to that idea that this really is, you know, it's funny, we've become such a connected world technologically, but we've actually become less connected. You know, like, we can reach out and call people anywhere in the world, and yet we don't know our neighbors anymore. And connecting with a clan society, or, you know, Clan Donald USA, which is really a branch of Clan Donald worldwide, you know, it's an opportunity to reconnect with people with a similar passion and tradition and heritage and personality and disposition. And I really do think that we are all thriving for contact and community and connectedness. And I really think that that is the role the Klan will play and continues to play going forward. Look, you joined a clan for protection and economic benefit back in the day, and also because, you know, territorially and familial, that's, you know, those were your people. And I don't know that it's any different today, you know, 1,000 years later or 500 years later. Those are still your people, and you're still thriving for connectedness and community and protection. And while it isn't, you know, we're not going to, you know, if Lord MacDonald called us to arms today, I don't think we're going to grab our swords and go to war. But there is still something about the thought that we are all in it together. And I've heard so many stories of fellow clan members who, when in need, their fellow clan members were the ones that showed up and helped and really made the difference in their life. I know, you know, he wasn't here this trip, but we have a member here in Utah, Dave Kafton, who wrote an unbelievable, powerful story on the Clan Donald Utah page once about how Clan Donald was there for his family at a time when he really needed it. And I will tell you, I've heard those stories across the nation, that at the end of the day, while we are not close relatives, we all treat each other like family, and we are there in the moment of need. And, you know, and I think that we're all looking for that. We're all looking for the broader, you know, connected community. And I think, I feel that that is the role of the Klan Society in modern day, that we really are an international community of connection and togetherness, and it's something bigger than yourself. So that's kind of what I think.
That's awesome.
Dang, dude, that was awesome.
That was good.
You know, it's everything that you just said, Alex, but I also just want to add to that that the feelings that I have always had, and when I went to Scotland, it was the same thing. We all have genetic memory. And when I have met different people, absolute strangers that are Clan Donald USA, you can instantly recognize them as family. It's just the weirdest thing. And so what you said, Alex, is absolutely, absolutely why it's relevant today. But what keeps it together is that genetic memory and that recognition of like and family, I think. I don't
know. You know, that came up in one of the other interviews, I think, with the McGregors, is that that's a common, like you pointed out, Alex, there's not a lot of things that were true about clans in the 1500s that are not true now. You and I wouldn't answer any clan chief's call and go cut some dude up. But the thing that is very as much relevant today as it was back in the 1500s, say, is that it's a kin-based society. And I think part of the whole, like we've tried on this podcast for maybe lack of a better definition, like if you're looking at Scottish history and you see, because everybody wants to toss out clan this, clan that, right? Were they? Well, you need to have a fairly workable definition of clan, or you can't say yes or no. And my definition I've been working with for a while now is that there has to be this broader kindred than just a guy's immediate family, which I think is the flaw in a lot of online clan histories, most of which just regurgitate the same information, is that you're reading it and you're not reading the history of a kindred. It's just giving you, this guy held this title, and then his son was involved in this war, and then his great-great-grandson did this noteworthy thing, and you don't see any trace, and sometimes it's there, you just need to dig into other sources, but you don't see any trace of a broader kindred. And what you were pointing out there is, today, that is core, is this broader kindred. Yet you weren't raised going to Christmas at grandma's with this guy as your cousin or this gal, but there is this shared thing, and I really, really like that term you use, genetic memory. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. I might ask Alex to share an experience he had at Armadale that maybe ties in with, do you think that would qualify as genetic memory? In a little bit, we'll get to more clan-specific stuff here in a second. I don't know, maybe your answers to the last question were so good that it took care of this question, but maybe I'll just ask it, and if you've got anything to add on top of it, cool. If not, we'll go to the more clan-specific stuff. But why would somebody want to be a member of a clan today? I think you covered it really well in that last answer. Let's say I have a sense of belonging in other areas of my life. Are there things that a clan society today could offer me that I might not get going to church or going to a family reunion or something like that, which I don't know what the difference is between a family reunion and a clan society. It's kind of the same thing, but you get what I mean.
Yeah, I do. And I think, you know, what's interesting is to tee off what Ted said so well about genetic memory, I think that there are some, you know, most of us know our immediate families and our extended families, but there is something, some unanswered questions that are rooted deep inside of us that come from, you know, the past that we are not even aware of, years and years back, that, you know, that honestly, when you join a clan society, you start to see it. You start to recognize traits in you that you didn't know where they came from in some of the other people. Like in Clan Donald, when I go to the annual meeting or when I come to the tent, I see myself in so many of the other members, the stubbornness, the just temper. And not to hit on the, you know, what traditionally is negative points, but a lot of times that's what you think of when you think, you know, like, where did I get this temper? Well, I know exactly where I got it. I got it from my grandmother because she's a McDonald. Like 100%, I've seen it across the organization. Yeah, exactly. We all have that just fiery spirit, that, you know, stubbornness and you know, well, it makes for a very interesting organization. You know, it does help sort of answer some of those historic, you know, that generation after generation, we were just the same type of people. So, you know, but honestly, why would you join an organization today? I think the simple answer is most people choose to do it because they're looking into their genealogy and they want to make the connection back to Scotland. And so that's the simple logistical reason I think people join a lot of times. It's either that or they had a great experience one time at a client tent. They showed up and they were welcomed and they really enjoyed it, and because of that they decided to join. And whether they ever come back to the tent or not, you know, they joined up because they recognized that these are people I want to be a part of, and these are people similar to me that, well, again, I didn't meet them at my family reunion, they clearly, you know, feel like family to me. And so I think that's probably why people join clan societies today. I do want to clarify, I said, you know, it's unlikely that if Lord MacDonald would call us all to arms, but I do want to make it clear, you know, if Godfrey or Hugo need my sword, I'm there for them. You know, like, if it's cutting people up and they need it done, I want to be very clear, I'm there for them.
Just
so,
in case they're listening.
Yeah, exactly, in case they listen to, you know, yes, I just want everybody to know that if Clan Donald goes to war, I will be right on the front lines ready to draw my sword. So I got to put that out there.
And just so everybody knows, because Ted called him a suck up there, but last night when we were talking and nobody was listening to the conversation, it wasn't being recorded, Alex was very positive in his description of interacting with the leadership of Clan Donald, with zero in it for him, he spoke very highly of them. And if I get any of the people in the Clan Donald Society that high up listening to this podcast, I'm gonna chalk that one up to a win.
You will now.
Okay, awesome. I hope he does. Nothing but compliments here, though, that I've ever heard. Ted, anything to add to that? What Alex just said? All right, cool.
Do you want me to pause it for a second?
All right, now I'm kind of winding into my final question for Alex and Ted here. I want to know what they're, now, just, I'm going to, before I let them talk here, I just want my listeners to know these guys know a lot of stuff. This is so fun, because usually I'm just talking into a microphone and don't have anybody to talk to back, especially people, I don't often get the chance with people who have studied and know as much about their own clan as Alex and Ted know about the McDonald's. And that goes both for just historical stuff and for the modern clan society stuff. Like last night we got to talking about the McDonald of Slate's involvement or lack of involvement or kind of involvement in the 45 Jacobite Rebellion. And Alex had some really cool insights there. So, so both for Alex and Ted, favorite thing about the McDonald's, historical event, a common theme you see run through their history, anything about the McDonald's that you're like, this gets me excited, what is it?
All right, I'll go first, Ted. You know, I think there's a couple things. So I think the fact that while we were the largest clan in the history of Scotland and arguably one of the most powerful, it seems like many times we ended up siding on what you could argue was the right side of history, but resulting in the wrong side of the battle, you know? And so because of that, and look, a lot of that is the one thing that really draws me to my fellow clan members, which is that just sort of, you know, autonomous, stubborn, don't tell me what to do streak that I see in myself and across the entire clan. And as you look at the history of Clan Donald through the ages, you can see that rear its ugly head in our history over and over again. I mean, all the way to the fall of the lordship. So, and Glencoe refusing to sign an oath until the very last second, and in fact, until it was too late. I mean, that was every paper I wrote in college. But I just think that rebellious spirit, that, like, I'm not going to be told what to do. You put a group of that together and you just watch the chaos. It just makes it so much fun. And so I think that's probably the one thing in the history and of the culture and the people of Clan Donald that really just speaks to me.
I don't even think I can add to that. I think the favorite thing that I do, if that's going to help, is unfortunately I can't go this year, but we get together once a year for the annual general meeting, and it's always in a different city here in the United States. And I look forward to dropping tons of money to go fly out to whatever city it's in, seeing people like Alex and other people that I only get to see once a year, but they're family, and some of them I talk to, you know, once or twice a month on the phone, but it's not the same thing as seeing them in person and spending 3 days partying and meeting with them and planning and commiserating. But it's just it's really brought a huge family together, and that's really my favorite thing. The AGM really gets me fired up every year, just getting together with people.
I love it. There's about as many reasons to be enthusiastic and to get excited as there are people, I think. And so it's so fun for me to hear the individual things that get them. I think for me, one thing that gets just not about one specific clan, but it's just the stories. I love stories so much. I like a good story. It can move me to different feelings inside. It can motivate me to go different directions or... the stories are so compelling. So I would like to give Alex and Ted a show of gratitude by inviting them to plug their society here. I think I just got the motion that Alex is going to take care of that one. Tell everybody, like seriously, like the most shameless, just lay it on. Get people to join your organization, go to a certain website, whatever it is, tell them now.
Yeah, perfect. So, you know, if you want more information on this group of rabble-rousers throughout history that grew to the largest clan in the history of Scotland, and you have a connection, whether it be by blood or marriage, I encourage you to go check out clandonaldusa.org. That's our national website. It contains a ton of resources and information, as well as information on how to join. Also, if not there, then stop by a local Clan Donald tent at one of the games and introduce yourself and get to know some of the amazing people in Clan Donald. I think once you meet the people that I've met, you absolutely are going to want to join. So, you know, clandonaldusa.org.
All right, I'd love to thank Alex and Ted for letting me just take a chunk of their day here to record this conversation. It's been a real treat to get to know them personally. And I already liked Clan Donald. I thought it was cool, but I like him a little bit more now. So thanks for joining me for this conversation with Alex and Ted.
All right, so I hope you really enjoyed my conversations that I was able to have with people over in with Tom Campbell over in the Campbell tent, and Ted and Alex over with the McDonald tent. And I had a good time visiting with them. I'd like to officially on this episode express my thanks that they took a few minutes with me and indulged me. They were very kind, and I had a good experience. So if this is something that you enjoy, let me know. Let me know in the comments if this is something you want more of. I am really trying to work. Guys, my tech savvy has been holding me back. There's several people I want to do as guests. This was easy for me because I was live. I didn't have to figure out how to pipe somebody in and what technology and all that stuff. And I really need to get caught up on that, but there's people in this space that I really want to bring into this. So if you like that, hopefully there's more of that in the future. If this podcast has been something that's been good for you generally, I've been getting some great feedback from people on Podbean, people reaching out, messages there. Apple Podcasts, I've had a few reviews, very positive recently there. And so if this is something that you found valuable, I'd invite you to go ahead and share this. Subscribe it, follow it, whatever that platform you're on allows you to do. And then I'd like you to share it with somebody that you think would be interested in this. There's a lot of people out there who don't know about this. I was walking around. I was wearing a t-shirt that said Scottish Clans Podcast at the Scottish Festival. And people were like, there's a podcast? And they had like tons of people who were really interested in this, didn't even know about it. So if you would, reach out to the people around you who you think would be interested in this and share it with them. And go ahead and reach out to me. I'm going to try to be more responsive. I'm spending more and more time with the podcast element of this. Trying to be a little bit more involved. Last year I went into maintenance phase where you would notice that my episodes were fewer and farther between, but I was just trying to hang on to it. So I'm jumping into a little bit more now. And for those of you who have reached out to me, have patience with me. I'm going to try to be a lot better about responding and doing so promptly. So yeah, I hope you like this. I hope it was valuable for you. And until next time, Marsh and Leven Graska.